You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to the best of Central Time right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, we're revisiting some of our favorite interviews from the last 6 months.
Later in the program, we'll hear from a biographer who's written about the life and legacy of Johnny Cash. He was the only music journalist at the legendary Folsom Prison concert in 1968. He interviewed Cash and his wife, June Carter, for the final time just months before their deaths in 2003.
And maybe you bought or received a Lego set for Christmas, but did you know that only a decade ago, the company was on the verge of bankruptcy? A few months ago, we spoke with a guest who says Lego was able to reinvent the rules of innovation and transform Lego into one of the world's most profitable and fastest growing companies in the world. We'll hear that interview later as well.
Right now, we'll revisit an interview with Wisconsin-based board game designer John Kovalik. His work includes illustrations for popular games like Apples to Apples and ROFL. With families coming together today, I'll bet there's a lot of board gaming happening around the state right now. If you're looking for suggestions on what to play, John's got those as well. I started by asking him if he thought we were having a renaissance of board gaming here in the United States.
I think we are. For the first time in as long as I can remember, you were getting some fantastic games getting into the stores, into Target, into general stores. You could always find really terrific games at specialty hobby stores, but you sort of had to seek them out. Now they're becoming much more mainstream. You're getting some fantastic board games getting name checked on mainstream television shows. Hollywood is picking up on the whole rebirth of gaming in the U.S. And you know, we're really following Europe. I mean, in Europe, gaming has been very, very big for several years now. So it's just fantastic to see.
We'll maybe ask for recommendations later, but I want you to drop some names. I mean, a lot of people are familiar with the Monopolies, the Risk, and things like that. What kind of games are out there that maybe came over from Europe or were inspired that are part of this renaissance?
Well, there's an entire category called Euro-style or European board games, and probably the big three at the moment, the gateway games, would be a game called Carcassonne, a game called Ticket to Ride, and a game called Settlers of Catan. And they're all very different games, and they're just marvelous.
And I should disclose here that I'm a big gaming geek. I have those games and a closet, and a little more than a closet full at home. I won't go too far into that. I mentioned Gen Con a little while ago. It's a big game convention. People get together to play board games, lots of other stuff, too. It's in Indianapolis, and it shouldn't be, right? It has a Wisconsin connection. Can you talk about that?
Gen Con stands for Geneva Convention from Lake Geneva. So in the 1970s, there was a group of gamers in Lake Geneva who, for a while, made Wisconsin the center of another gaming revolution, which was role-playing games. Dungeons & Dragons was designed by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson. And Gary Gygax's gaming group was in Lake Geneva. And it just exploded onto the scene. It was huge. It was a very different style of gaming where you can play at being a character as opposed to simply moving a piece of metal around a board that represents your character. People loved it. And Gen Con took off primarily as a role-playing convention. It outgrew Lake Geneva in the 1980s and moved to Milwaukee. It was wonderful in Milwaukee. Sadly, it outgrew Milwaukee, and it's now in Indianapolis. And that's just wrong.
Well, turning from the playing the game side, let's look at designing. You've been an illustrator for a long time. You've done a few games, including the What Do You Know game on the public radio show here at WPR.
Pledge now for a copy.
And now your new game is Roffle, R-O-F-L, like texting language.
Yes.
How do you get started? What decisions do you make at the outset in designing a game?
There are several different ways you can go about it. For me, my best ideas tend to come very quickly. The idea for Roffle quite literally came within a 5-minute span. I was looking at a game that was supposed to be about texting. It wasn't. It was using texting as essentially a theme. Mm-hmm. The gameplay itself had nothing to do with texting. A perfectly fine game. But it suddenly hit me that the act of condensing a phrase or words to their core letters would make a really terrific game mechanic, and nobody had really done that before. it was really kind of one of these weird light bulb moments. So
it's something like 47 years ago might be my phrase, and I have to, it's kind of like a name that tune. I have to get it in as few characters as I can, right?
Exactly. And yeah, the person who comes up with the shortest version shows their sample to the judge first, or the guesser, and if the guesser gets it, they both get points, and then it moves along.
So you talked about, what is it, the 2% is inspiration, 98% perspiration. You have your brilliant brainstorm idea. What happens next when you want to make a game that appeals to people?
The first thing you have to do is make a prototype, a playable prototype, hopefully several playable prototypes, and then play test the heck out of this thing. There are not enough hours in the day to fit the playtesting in. And this is one of the big mistakes a lot of people who will design the first game will miss. Because you just don't want your friends and family playtesting this game of yours. Because they're going to say
wonderful things. They're on your side. They love you.
They want this to succeed. You want people who are going to viciously tear into this game. Playtesting is the... in all my years of journalism before I got into gaming, I had never had an editor as vicious as the comments that would come back from playtest sessions. And sometimes it's appalling, but for the most part, they're extraordinarily useful. You want people to try and break the game as much as they can to see if the game will stand up.
And so you take into account their stuff. You keep, like any writing, you keep revising and revising based on their input. How do you know when you're done?
You don't. You never know when you're done. But there's a terrific saying in the games industry, which is a game is only late once, but it'll be bad forever. Just keep any spare time you have. Again, just try and get more input, get more people testing it, different groups, different age groups, everything.
Well, you mentioned this is in the party game category, along lines of apples to apples, something that you can kind of pull out and play quickly. I'll ask you to make some recommendations about your competition now. What else in that category would you recommend that people maybe check out?
Okay, there's a game I absolutely love called Wits and Wagers. Mm. It is probably the only trivia game I actually like. Trivia is fine if you like trivia. To me, trivia is not a game. Trivia is a quiz. I stopped enjoying quizzes when I got out of college. but Wits and Wagers it's a wonderful game. It's available in most mainstream stores, also in specialty stores like in Madison Pegasus Games or I'm Bored in Middleton. But it takes essentially unknowable questions. And everybody writes down their answer. The answers are all numerical. All the answers are laid out. Then you get to bet on whose answer you think is the correct one. So you can get points from being the closest, and you can get points from correctly guessing who else will have been the closest. It's a marvelous system. So people who like trivia will like the game. People who like games will like this game. I think it's a stunningly original game.
And that's one I've played this. We'll see if there's any I haven't played so far. But there might be a question like how many 3-point shots did Michael Jordan score in a certain year? Nobody except the most hardcore sports junkie knows that. But that's the point. You're all guessing,
right? And you just have to figure out who will be the closest.
Let's get some more recommendations. Say I mentioned Monopoly, Risk, Scrabble, people who like a Clue, people who like those games, they're looking for something more. You mentioned Settlers of Catan, Carcassonne, one more, I'm not thinking
Ticket
of right
to
now,
ride.
Ticket to Ride. What other ones might people look at as a next step if they want to do more gaming and don't know where to start?
Well, last year I was obsessed with cooperative games, games in which all the players are on the same team. So there's not going to be one single winner. There are two wonderful games out there in stores, and I think, for the most part, these are also starting to become available in some of the main, the big box stores, Barnes & Nobles, Target, etc. But also, go to your specialty local retailers who will definitely have these. Castle Panic is one, and Forbidden Island is another. In Castle Panic, you play a group of soldiers in a tower in the middle of the board, and you are being overrun by orcs, goblins, and trolls. It's a relatively simple game. Conceptually, it's going to be a little different for most people just getting into it, but once you get it down, it's a very easy, very fun game. And the sense of panic is palpable as you see the hordes rushing towards trying to knock down your walls. Forbidden Island, again, another wonderful cooperative game. You are all explorers on an island that is sinking. You've got to grab the treasure and get to the helipad and get off the island before the island disappears from underneath you. You can try and shore up parts of the island. You can, you each have a special ability which will help others in your party. Maybe it will help you. And again, the sense of desperation as the island is sinking beneath your feet is very palpable. It's a terrific, fun game. And the whole subgenre of cooperative games are great for people who maybe, don't want the competitiveness that some people might bring to a gaming table.
And just maybe a word of warning, are these games that you can whip out with the group of friends around the table and start playing right away, or should somebody prep, read the rules a little first?
Well, for the most case, somebody should know the rules, but they're not difficult games to explain. These are, a level or two above Monopoly. But then on the other hand, when is the last time anybody's read the rules to Monopoly? Seriously. And definitely a step or two above Risk, but they're not that difficult. They are very accessible, especially if there is somebody there who can sort of lead others on. I mean, this is one of the great things I love. This is one of the things I truly love about gaming. Is it so very social. You'll get, somebody will bring a game to your gaming group or just to your social group because they want to share this experience with other people. They're excited about these games. Each of these new games will have something different to offer. And for the most part, if you find, somebody like that, you're very lucky because there'll just be so many games out there which will blow people's minds.
That's board game designer John Kovalik. We've got more of that interview coming up after the break.
And we want to know what games you're playing today. Let us know on the Central Time Facebook page. We're also on Twitter, so send us a tweet at CentralTimeWPR.
And coming up after 4, we'll talk with a music journalist and biographer about the life and legacy of the man in black, Johnny Cash.
There's more Central Time just ahead. First, here's a look at the headlines.
Right now, we're talking about board games with John Kovalik. He's been in the gaming business for a good long time. His newest game is Roffl, R-O-F-L. You can call in at 800-642-1234. Your favorite game, your favorite gaming memory. We'll go right to the phones. We've got Joe with us in Lansing, Iowa. Joe, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. My brothers and I used to play Risk up in the attic on rainy days at the cabin. And I think one of the interesting things that brought up in your discussion is that you had competition without animosity. The roll of the dice of games takes the personality out of it. So you have this fun without any conflict.
No, wait, it was you and your brothers. There must have been some animosity there sometimes, right? Or did it really work?
I was the oldest one, and sometimes I would lose.
Then it got ugly. Joe, thanks a lot for sharing the story. I love that in the attic of the cabin on the rainy day. So I like that, the friendly competition angle of this, John.
For the most part, it's really important to people understand that the most important thing about gaming to me is not who wins or who loses. It's having a fantastic time with friends, with family. My own games, I tend to lose these a lot. I've been doing the illustrations for the game Munchkin for 11, 12 years now. I've only ever won one game of Munchkin, and that was only a couple of years ago. For various reasons, I'm not hyper-competitive. Let's leave it at that and move on. There's nothing else to see here, folks. But yeah, that is the true joy of gaming. I mean, there are some people who will be very competitive. There are some people who just want to win at any cost. I would much rather play a great game that I lose than be an extraordinarily tense game that I claw a win from.
And Risk, if somebody has played Risk, they liked it, and they want to move on to something else, what might you point them toward?
Couple of directions to go. If you like Risk, there is the game Diplomacy, which is a classic game and is totally self-contained. There's no dice involved. It's you negotiating with friends. Now, I will warn you, Diplomacy can get very tense. Diplomacy kind of scares me. I haven't played it since high school, and some friends and I, and I'm very glad we're still friends after playing Diplomacy. It's a marvel. It's almost a perfect game. It's one of these games like chess, which is just absolutely self-contained. Nothing else is needed. It's World War I Europe. You're each one of the major powers. You have to negotiate with others about your moves. Then you write down your moves, and your move might not be what you negotiated. There are a lot of other military style games. It's a huge field. I'm thinking right now, games like I'm just utterly blanking. Chaos in the Old World by Games Workshop. There are probably in this category there are too many games just
to narrow it down. All right, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Joe in Wapaka. Hi there, Joe.
Hi.
Do you have a favorite game?
My favorite game is Stratego.
Ooh.
Stratego is a fantastic game.
What do you like about it, Joe?
In Boy Scout camp, someone brought it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everyone was really interested in it because they really haven't seen it before. So everyone was wanting to play it and stuff, and I got to play, and I just really enjoyed it. It just had a lot of fun.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, Joe. And that I remember playing that as a kid, too, that mystery, like, what is that other piece going to be when it turns around?
The spy and the bombs.
Right. Watch out for those guys. There are other games that maybe pick up where that left off. Isn't there, like, a Lord of the Rings one along those lines or something?
There are several. And much like Monopoly, there are, you know, licensed games out there. There are games which will have their variant rules. It's a terrific game. It's really, again, one of the ones people will first start playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very cunning. It's very clever.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call, Joe. And we'll try the phones again. We've got Jennifer with us in Germantown. Jennifer, hi. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. What a great show. This sounds like so much fun. I want to play a game.
Yay.
Thank you.
One of my favorite games for a large group of people is called Fishbowl. It's much like charades. Everybody writes down a noun or a phrase or something. And the first round goes where you can actually describe the item or the noun or whatever. The next round, which is also scored, is just you can only use one word. And you'd think by the third round, which is the actual charade of it all, you'd remember all the words that were put into the fishbowl, but nobody does, and it's hysterical. It's a great group adult game, especially.
That sounds like fun, and that is one I haven't played. John, are you familiar with that one?
I have not. The rules sound terrific.
Yeah,
and there are fun. You know, there are a lot of social games like that, some of which will become commercial games for a big group of people. There are a few different games along the lines of, are you familiar with the werewolf games? Who's the werewolf? Are you the werewolf?
I have not played them, but I know about them, yeah.
Yes, essentially a large group of people, and somebody is the werewolf in the group, and there are many variants out there now. And there's an inspector, and you come back, and the werewolf can be knocking off other characters. And, just, again, another really good game for a large group. I'm not tooting my own horn here because Apples to Apples is now owned by the Mattel Corporation, but Apples to Apples is one of those games that really can work for a huge group of people. It was designed for probably 6 players, and it just stunned us that groups of 10 or 12 would just play it for the fun of it.
Great. Thanks a lot for the call and the suggestion. Oh, producer Chris Molina says he's played Fishbowl. He says drinking is often involved, so there's that. Linda,
it saddens me that many, many of the games I've worked on can become drinking games.
Yeah. Linda in Oregon is
welcome
with us
to Wisconsin.
Now. Hi there, Linda.
Hi there.
What's your game?
Hi, Linda.
My game is called Cabal, C-A-B-A-L. It's a board game that was copyrighted in 1947, and our family has played it for 50 years. There are 4 different directions you're aiming for, north, south, east, and west. Sorry, I have a siren going by. North, south, east, and west, and you and someone else at the table are trying to occupy a 4-part space of the same direction, and the other 2 people have cards that tell them to go to a different space. So you're playing offense and defense at the same time, and you have pieces, 6 pawns, I'd say, and 2 kind of queen pieces.
Hmm.
And it's you don't know who your partner is. So when you and someone else occupy the space that is yours, then you say, are you going north? And they say yes or no. And then the game continues until the spaces are filled by the two people that are going there.
And you've been playing this in your family for 50 years, you said, Linda.
50 years, and I kind of would like to reproduce it. It was, if its copyright has worn out, it's an olive green and black, and the pieces are not attractive colors. I've made the game in numerous formats for people in our family, just using boards that, you know, that I marked off and pieces that I made out of clay, colored clay, and we all play it. And
that's,
we all like it.
That's great, Linda. Thank you so much for the suggestion. I think John's typing a note like, maybe we can publish this thing.
No,
yeah,
I was, I was just trying to find it online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of these games, which are out of print, you can find now online. There are many online sources to pick up old out-of-print games. It used to be, boy, 15, 20 years ago, much harder to find these things. But it is kind of nifty that, you know, I mean, at Gen Con, there were going to be some retailers there who have got nothing but old out-of-print board games.
John, in just our last 30 seconds or so, you say some, you've got friends who don't play games. You want to get them into it. How do you start to persuade them?
Just grab a game you love and go for it. I mean, for the most part, your joy, your own personal love of gaming is going to be addictive. And you'll start with some of these, the games we've discussed, the ones you yourself love, and just go for it. It's a terrific way to spend an evening.
And what's the next game you're hoping to play, if you can get people together for it?
Some of the ones we've been talking about here now.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, it's got you in the mood for them.
Absolutely.
John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
That was John Kovalik. He's worked on games like Apples to Apples and ROFL, and he's based right here in Wisconsin.
And from board games to word games, make sure to join Joy Cardine tomorrow morning at 8. Joy and her guests will celebrate the 100th birthday of the venerable crossword puzzle.
Coming up next on Central Time, we'll revisit an interview with biographer Robert Hilburn. He's written a new profile on Johnny Cash. He says Cash was much more than a musician. He was a towering figure in modern American culture who used his music to promote the best of the American spirit. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to the best of Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.